Okay, welcome everyone to week five of the new you in the new year. And this week we're going to talk about the mind-body connection. Specifically, we're going to talk a lot more about visualization and all the different ways you can use visualization for both weight loss and pretty much any other aspect of your life that you like. And the good thing about visualization is you get better and better at it over time. So the last 4 weeks, you've been listening to one, two, and in some cases, three visualizations a day. And that has given you an ability to get much stronger at creating visualizations and at using visualizations. So I want to talk about some other ways that we can use visualization going forward. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been using visualization in a couple of different ways. We've been using visualization to communicate to your body that your body wants to be thin by making... Let me just see how my connection is. Is everybody hearing me? Let me just give a test with my tech people. You guys hear me okay? Am I coming in clear? Hang on 1 second, everyone. Loud and clear. Good. Awesome. Okay. So we've been using visualization to communicate to your body. So when you make a visual image of the way your body would like to look, it's a way of communicating to your body. It's a very, very effective way. We've been doing that pretty much since day one. We've been using visualization as a tool to reduce stress, to work through emotional issues, to heal digestion, and to activate the get thin and get eaten adaptation, which we did last week. So we've been using visualization in all these different ways. This week, I want to talk about lots of other ways that we can use visualization. So we can use visualization to help eliminate junk food cravings. And we're going to talk about all of these that's on this slide right now. We're going to talk about all these in turn. So you can use visualization to help eliminate junk food cravings, to help create positive habits, to improve energy and vitality, to change dysfunctional beliefs, to increase your intuition and internal guidance, and also to help manifest success in every area of your life so that you can live the life of your dreams, which is really what it's all about. It's about taking all these tools and using them to help heal your body, eliminate this issue of weight once and for all, and use all these tools in other areas of your life so you can live the life of your dreams. That's the ultimate goal. Cool. So let's talk about each one of these in turn. So first of all, eliminating junk food cravings. Now, visualization is probably, in my opinion, the most powerful tool you can use to very, very quickly eliminate junk food cravings. And when you understand the way your mind works in terms of trying to get your mind and body to work together, you'll see this very clearly. So the most important aspect of this is that your mind does not understand language. So if you say to yourself, and you can try this right now, if you say to yourself, I hate chocolate cake, right, or I'm never going to eat chocolate cake, or I'm never going to eat ice cream, or I'm never going to eat pizza. So what you've done is you've used what's called negative speech. I'm never going to. I hate eating pizza, chocolate cake, all those things. But what happens really when you do that, if you try that right now, I'm never going to eat chocolate cake. I'm never going to eat pizza. What's happening right now when you're doing that? Well, what's happening, if you're anything like me and most people I talk to, is you're getting a visual image of chocolate cake, ice cream, and pizza, and that's making you hungry because it's the images that are signaling to your body. And that's why your body, if you want to communicate to your body, you communicate in images. And that is the wrong way to communicate an image to your body. So what you can do with visualization is rather than say, use language, which your animal brain and your subconscious brain does not understand. You don't want to use language. You want to create a visual image. And the visual image you want to create is that of whatever the food is that you'd like to eliminate, whatever food that is, you want to imagine that in a really negative way. You want to have a negative experience with it. And the important thing to understand is that if you visualize having a negative, distasteful experience with the food that you are wanting to eliminate or get rid of or is causing you problems and you wish you didn't have to, you know, you wish you didn't have these cravings. If you visualize having a negative, distasteful experience, your brain, at least the animal brain, part of your body, thinks it's really happening. Your brain does not know the difference between a real and imagined experience, and that's really powerful. So taking the example of chocolate cake, let's say you imagine yourself eating chocolate cake, and then all of a sudden you discover that it's not really chocolate cake, it's dirt, or it's mud, or it's something even more imaginably disgusting. And you can use your imagination on that one. And as I'm talking to you, you're going, ooh, gross, that's disgusting. And you can imagine taking a bite of chocolate cake and then realizing that it's any one of these disgusting things and then spitting it out and even getting nauseous and never wanting to have it again. This is creating an experience that your brain is thinking is really happening. Your body's thinking is really happening. And then you no longer want the food because you've created a negative association. You've created a distasteful experience. And you can do it with pretty much any food. You can imagine taking a bite of a sandwich and all of a sudden you see maggots in the sandwich and you spit it out. And then you don't want sandwiches anymore. You can do it with any food that's causing you problems. Now, the important thing to understand is that you don't have to do this. If you're addressing the real issues, chances are you are adding more food and reducing stress and you've gotten yourself to a place where your body actually organically wants to be thinner, it's not going to be a problem for you. But if that happens and there's still some food that's causing you problems, you can create this negative association, and it is very, very powerful. I know people that this one lady I remember telling me that she used to go camping when she was younger, and she used to love these canned oysters, and she opened up a can of oysters and she had it, and apparently they were bad, and she got really sick and she could never eat oysters again. That's the type of thing that happens in real life, and we're all familiar with it, but it can actually happen through visualization. You can create a negative association, and that is the most effective way to eliminate junk food cravings if it's something you want to do. And I want to urge you, don't have to do this. I'd rather you focus on adding and addressing the real issues, but at a certain point, you may want to do this. I did do this during my weight loss journey with sugar, with bread. Those were the big ones. And then each time I did it, I had a real strong acceleration in my weight loss. So it's a powerful thing you can do, another tool you can use for visualization. Visualization is also really, really powerful at creating positive habits. And if you look at how the brain functions and how the brain's wired, you'll understand that we are habit-forming machines. That's what our brains are, at least. Our brains function very much like computers, and they are self-taught, self-learning computers. And if you understand how they work, you'll see that pretty much anything you do over the time gets easier and easier, becomes a habit, like brushing your teeth. You know, the first time you had to learn how to brush teeth, it took time. Now it's a habit. You never, ever have to think about it. And visualization is really powerful at creating habits. So just to explain why and how, let's just talk about how the brain functions a little bit, real quick brain chemistry lesson. So if you look at those are brain cells. They're also called neurons. And if you look at everything in our brain, it functions just like a computer. So the way a computer works is you have all these different millions and trillions of computer chips. And these computer chips are either on or off. They're either firing or they're not firing, and that's all they do. And our brain is exactly the same. Our brain cells, also called neurons, are either firing or they're not firing. And when they fire, if you look at the top one, the brain cell, it's going to want to communicate to the bottom one. When they fire, the other brain cell is either going to pick it up or not. And the way it picks it up is that the more often it happens, the more often that these two brain cells, the first brain cell tries to communicate to the second brain cell, the more that happens, the easier and easier the process is for the second brain cell to pick up the signal and keep it going. And then it goes down this long, long, long line. So brain cells to me are very much like people in the sense that the first time you meet someone, you form an impression. The second time you meet someone, you're an acquaintance. By the third time, you might be friends. If you see them all the time, or if you talk to them every day, or if there's some emotional or chemical charge that you get when you experience them, and it happens all the time, you actually form addictions. And this is what's going on all the time. The first time, it takes a while whenever you're learning something. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And that's simply because, going back to this slide on brain cells, that's simply because these two brain cells, or the series of brain cells in a network, they are more and more receptive to each other. They actually are, it's almost like they're more friendly. They're buddies. They hug more. They say hi more. They connect more. That's what's going on in your brain. And so what we're doing all the time, basically, is whenever you're creating a habit, whenever you want to create a habit, it's very much like a path, creating a path through the woods. So if you were to look at a path through the woods, let's say that it's the first time you're walking through the path. So if it's the first time you're walking through a path, you got to think a lot. It takes a lot of consciousness. Which way am I going? Should I go around this tree? Should I go over around this rock? First time you do it, it takes a lot of thinking. By the second or third time that you do it, there's a path drawn. You've trotted down the leaves or the grass or the foliage so that you're going to go on that one, but just simply because it's easier. And this is a good thing or a bad thing. You know, habits are good or bad, right? So either way, it starts to get easier and easier. If you walk through the same path through the woods every single day for a year, number one, it's going to require no thinking whatsoever. It's become a habit. Number two, it would require so much extra energy to go off of the path because you got to step over this and under this, and you got to do all these kind of things. You wouldn't even think of it. So it takes time to establish a habit. Repetition to establish a habit. And then once you establish the habit, it gets easier and easier. But here's the thing. This is what I've learned, and this is what I've discovered, and this is also from my research. What I've understood is that visualization is like using a bulldozer to create a habit. So if you were trying to get through the woods and create a pathway, and you had a bulldozer, you could do it in one day. What you could do in one day might otherwise take weeks or months or even years to create the habit just by walking the daily repetition. And the reason is this. When you are in a visualization, especially the types of visualizations that we do, where you are meditating, where you're getting into the what's called the alpha and the theta brainwave states, these are very, very powerful brainwave states. Your brain is actually more powerful. If you look at how the brain actually gives off an electrical charge. It generates electricity. And if you look at the equation for electricity, it's a wave of energy. It's based on how big the wave is. So when you're in your normal waking state, the waves are very small. When you get into the alpha and theta state, the brain waves become much bigger. They become 10 times bigger. And based on the equation for it, generating energy, signals that you're giving out, the brainwaves are 10 times bigger, you will actually be producing 100 times as much energy. So your brain becomes incredibly more powerful, and also your neurons become more plastic because the brainwaves are more powerful. And anybody that's ever done any kind of accelerated learning, if you've ever done any kind of accelerated learning courses, they all talk about getting into the alpha and the theta state to learn something in an accelerated way. This is what you're doing when you're in a meditative state, when you're using visualization in a meditative state. It has the effect of being able to create a habit simply in one day. So what you do simply, and this is something we've talked about, especially in the call-in sessions when people ask me questions, how do I do this? How do I get rid of this? Or how do I create the habit of that? We've talked about this several times. But what you want to do is any habit that you'd like to create, whether it's going to the gym or having a healthy salad in the afternoon or taking a stress reduction break in the afternoon or taking a nap in the mid-morning, any type of habit you'd like to create. If you are, when you are listening to the visualizations that I've created for you, you're already in a meditative state. So when you do, when you're in those that state, just after the visualization, imagine whatever it is you'd like to do. Imagine going to the gym, putting on your shoes or sneakers, tying your shoelaces, doing the event, loving it, and completing it successfully. The more detail that you can do, the better. But basically, by creating this visualization in a meditative state, you will be able to create a habit, a positive habit, much, much quicker. You can do it in just a day or two by simply visualizing the habit because you're in meditative state. So, because when you visualize the habit in a meditative state, all the neural networks are getting fired and all the associations and connections and are strengthening and happening as if you're actually doing the event. They have done studies with Olympic athletes or professional athletes when they visualize their ideal sport, such as basketball. They just visualize playing basketball, and all the neurons are being fired in the same coordinated sequence. So it's such a powerful tool for any positive habit you want. And to me, a positive habit is like an asset that pays dividends forever. If you're in the habit of getting up and meditating every morning, or getting up and going out for a walk, or going for a run, or whatever the thing is, you don't have to think about it anymore. You've done it so many times. It's just creating the habit that's hard. And this is an amazing tool for helping you create that habit. Cool. Visualization can also open your energy channels or your life force channels, or what they call in Eastern medicine, your chi or prana. And I want to talk about this for a second because this is getting a little woo-woo, airy-fairy right now. There's something really powerful to this, and Western medicine is catching up with Eastern medicine in this. So all of Eastern medicine all the time for 5,000 years, the whole premise of Eastern medicine is based on the fact that we have an invisible energy that they call chi or we call life force energy. And this energy is going through all of your body the same way that blood goes through all your body, where we have veins and capillaries and arteries, and the blood's going and connecting with every part of your body. In the same way, we have energy channels or meridians. They're also called meridians, where our life force energy is traveling through. And I encourage you to keep an open mind to this for a couple of reasons. One is that it turns out there's lots of energies that we have not discovered yet. And we're still discovering, and we haven't discovered years ago, 200 years ago, we didn't know there were radio waves, and yet they existed all the time nonetheless, or TV waves or Wi-Fi, none of these things. These are all energies that you can't see. If you take the example of a Wi-Fi, if you think about it, all the information that exists on the internet is swimming around us all the time, and we can't see it. The only time we can see it is when it's in a computer. That's the only evidence that we have of it. We can't see it with our eyes. We do definitely have tools to measure it now, but we didn't always. And the same way, we have a life force energy that we cannot see with our eyes. We can't feel with our fingers. We can't locate it, but we know it's there, and it exists, and it gives us energy. And where we see the evidence of it is in a live body. When a body is no longer alive, the life force energy is no longer attached to it. The life force energy is what connects the body is what connects the mind and the non-physical parts of us to the physical part, to our body. And this life force energy, as I mentioned, travels through our body. And basically, understanding your life force energy is really, really crucial. In Eastern medicine, they know that all diseases, for example, first manifest as a blockage in your energy channels. So if you go to an acupuncturist, he might tell you that there's a problem with your liver 6 months before there's actually a problem in your liver, because it first manifests as a blockage in your energy channels. And that's what they're measuring. And when your energy channels are open and flowing, everything's working really, really well. So when your energy channels are open and flowing, you're getting life force vitality to all the parts of your body. But your energy channels can also be closed and blocked in certain places. And that's where all disease, first manifests. It first manifests as a blockage in your energy channels. And it's not just diseases. You become exhausted, you become tired, and it can cause weight gain. So all these things happen through our life force energy channels. And I know this may sound strange to some people, but I have been studying this for over 15 years now. And I find that when I get my energy channels open and flowing using a very simple process, which I'm going to talk about in a second, using visualization and meditation, when I get my channels open and flowing, everything's flowing in my life, and I have so much energy and vitality in my body. When they're blocked and I can't feel my way through the energy channels, and I can see that they're blocked, I'm tired and usually manifests as some sort of problem. So blocked energy channels causes you're weak. It can cause disease. It can cause sugar cravings because you don't have the energy. Literally, you're not getting energy to your body. So you look for another form of energy, which is sugar. And it creates a vicious cycle in your body. So blocked energy channels makes you more tired, more stressed. Life's harder. You start to put on weight. You crave sugar, put on weight. Causes more blocked energy blocked channels, and it creates a vicious cycle. And as I said, blocked energy channels means there's some part of you that's not getting the essential life force vitality that it needs. So what causes blocked energy channels? Well, interestingly enough, negative thoughts, fear, stress, as well as toxins cause blocked energy channels. When you're having negative thoughts, fear, and stress, or when someone's yelling at you and they're real fearful, it's almost like your energy channels constrict. They don't want that energy to come into their body. Excuse me. Just had to have a little bit of my veggie broth, and I'm good to go. So it's almost like these energy channels constrict. You don't want that negative energy in your body, whereas positive thoughts are a higher vibration that is easy to travel through your energy channels and keeps your energy channels open. But negative thoughts not only constrict your energy channels, but it's actually a lower, more denser type of energy. Because everything is energy, as quantum physics tells us, as science tells us now, mind, thoughts, emotions, physical body, it's all different types of energy, lower grades of energy. Mind is a more subtle type of energy than emotions, which is a more subtle type of energy. Than your life force vitality, which is a more subtle type of energy than your physical body. But within the mind, there's higher and lower types of thoughts. So fearful thoughts, negative thoughts, jealousy, resentment, they're a lower, thicker type of energy. It's almost like molasses that gets stuck in your energy channel. So the combination of your energy channels constricting because you're in a negative, fearful state and having negative thoughts causes blockages in your energy channels. They get stuck. So higher energy channels, higher emotions, higher feelings and thoughts. It's sort of like clear water. It's like clear water or clear energy that can easily run through your body. And negative emotions are very different. They're like a thick molasses that kind of can get stuck in your energy channels. And then you get these blockages. And as I said, it creates this negative spiral where you're in a chronic state of exhaustion. And then the more tired you are, the more negative thoughts you have, the more your energy channels get blocked. And then the more stressed you are, the more your fat programs get activated. It causes junk food cravings, a vicious cycle. So what we want to do is open our energy channels. And by opening and in doing so, create a positive spiral where you have more energy, you crave less junk food, life is less stressful, you're losing weight easier, you're feeling happy. And you really do, when your energy, when your life force channels are open, if you look at things like Tai Chi and Qi Kung and yoga, which are things we talked about in week three to try, they're all based on opening your life force energy channels, keeping your meridians and your channels open so that energy can come through. There's nothing better, and I have experienced it. When all my energy channels are open and flowing, I feel like I can take on the world. I have boundless energy. I don't need as much sleep, not hungry. I'm just having I have energy to have fun and to get work done, and that's what you want. You want your energy channels open and flowing. And the way I do it and the way you can do it too is you can use visualization to open your energy channels. The way you do it is this. Your mind actually has the ability to move this life force energy. And if you visualize life force energy moving through your body, it almost like a white light. And we do this already in our visualizations. If you imagine like a white light, visualize a white light going through your body, it almost acts like a Drano that opens up all the life force energy channels so that the life force can move through. And a perfect example of how your mind can move energy is simply anytime you ever have a thought like you want to move, if you want to go pick up a pencil, that's a thought. Hey, I want to go pick up a pencil. That thought, that's an invisible thing. You think about this. Nobody ever talks about this, but this has always fascinated me. A thought is not physical, right? How does a thought lead to energy? So you want to have the thought, I want to move my finger. How are you able to move your finger by something invisible that's not physical? How is a not physical thing creating something physical? And the answer is that your mind has the ability to move energy. So what happens, according to Eastern medicine, is you have the thought, I want to pick up the pencil. And that, and your mind is powerful enough to move the life force energy, and the life force energy is strong enough to cause electronic and a chemical and electrical signals in your brain that then send signals to your nerves and your muscles, and that's how you end up picking it up. So it's almost like your life force energy is the is really the pretty much the connection between the mind, the interface between the mind-body connection. It is what allows a thought like your mind to create energy, which is the movement of your body. And in the same way, you can use your mind through visualization to move your energy channels through your body. And especially if you imagine white light moving through your body at any place that you can't feel your arms or your legs or your stomach, it's a good place to stay concentrated on because it's like you're using that energy, that life force vitality is like a Drano to open up your energy channels. So we're already doing this in our visualizations. As you know, we imagine an ocean of light. It's all intentional. Pretty much everything I do in the visualizations, every single thing is intentional and direct and builds on itself. So imagining this this ocean of white light coming into your body and circulating through your body is opening up your energy channel. So I encourage you to continue to do that. And you can even do that on your own without the visualizations. So in the visualizations, I often tell you also to imagine an ocean of light, a whirlpool of light in your navel spinning around. So what you can do is we can even do it right now for just a second if you want. I'd like you to try this, and then you can do it for as little or as long as you like after a visualization or pretty much any time you like. This is the type of meditation that I do in the morning. So just try this with me for a second. So imagine just sitting up straight. Just imagine, and don't worry if you can't see it. Just try to feel it. Just do the best you can. Don't have to be perfect, and you do get better and better at it over time. So sitting up straight, just imagine there's a ball of beautiful white light circulating around your navel, just circulating around, getting brighter and brighter. And as you imagine that, you can just kind of breathe into your navel. So when you breathe in, your navel expands. And when you breathe out, your navel contracts. Let's do that breathing into your navel and contract. And just imagining this ball of white light spinning around. And then what you can imagine as this ball of white light is spinning around is that energy is being pulled up from the ground into your feet and into your knees and your thighs and your hips and into this ball of white light circulating around your navel. So it's almost like this ball of white light is pulling energy from the ground into your navel. And as it's doing so, it's traveling through all the life force channels in your legs and opening them up. So you can do that for a while, and then you can imagine that this ball of bright white light is pulling energy from the sky. So you can imagine energy coming into the top of your head, and into your face, and into the top of your mouth, and you can kind of touch your tongue to the roof of your mouth and imagine the energy going into your tongue and into your throat and into your chest and into this ball of bright white light. So you can just breathe in, and as you're breathing into this ball of white light, it's spinning around and it's pulling energy from the earth up and it's pulling energy from the sky down. And it's all just mixing in your navel. And you can do that for a minute, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever you like. And just start to imagine that white light is circulating all through your body. Maybe the ball of white light is getting bigger and bigger and encompassing your whole body. And that's just a simple, easy, powerful meditation that you can do, as I said, for a minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, or several hours. And I often do it for several hours, and it's just incredible. When I do it for several hours, it's because it feels so good. It just feels so good to be energized like this. You're really plugging into the invisible energy that we need and want and are looking for in the world through junk food and through stimulus and through so many different ways. You're plugging in directly with energy. So it's another way that you can use visualization. So as you can see, there's so many applications to using visualization once you have a foundation in doing it. And that's why I wrote the book Visualization for Weight Loss. This is all in that book, Visualization for Weight Loss. And there's these techniques and many others. Another way that you can use visualization is to help change dysfunctional beliefs. So when you think about it, your beliefs create your entire emotional state. And I'll give you an example of that. So let's say it's 12 o'clock on a Monday morning, and you're sitting at a cafe. You're meant to meet your spouse for lunch, and you're excited. And it's 12 o'clock, then it's 12:05, 12:10. They're late. Now it's 12:20, 12:30, 12:40. They're still not there, and you are very, very angry, right? What are you feeling? You're feeling... got all kinds of feelings around the fact that the belief is that your spouse is late. He or she never has respect for my time. He or she always does this. He or she doesn't think that I'm important, whatever. All these beliefs are causing a very negative emotional state, and that very negative emotional state is causing chemistry in your body, and chemistry in your body that can cause you to gain weight. And you're sitting there at the cafe, maybe you're just drinking Perrier water, and you're gaining weight because you're changing the chemistry in your body and activating your fat programs. That's how powerful beliefs are. But watch how powerful, how instantly you can change the beliefs. So your spouse shows up at 1 o'clock, an hour late, and you are angry and you start yelling at them, and they listen and they go, actually, I'm not late. You were early. So last night was daylight savings. We set the clock back at daylight savings last night. Maybe you forgot, but it's not 1 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock. So as soon as he or she says that, how do you feel now? Can you see how instantly all of those negative thoughts that were based on all the beliefs? All those negative thoughts were coming that were creating all those negative emotions instantly vanished. When you change your belief, if you really want to learn how to change your thoughts, if you don't like your thoughts because they're too fearful, for example, you need to change your beliefs. It's your beliefs that cause your thoughts. If you believe you're unsafe, you're going to have fearful thoughts all the time. If you believe you're safe and supported and guided and loved, you're not going to have those fearful thoughts. It's the beliefs that you have to work on, not your thoughts. And you can use visualization to change your beliefs. Here's another example. Let's say your husband or wife or spouse does show up an hour late, and they say, and you scream at them and they go, yes, I'm sorry. It's true. I am late. I'm sorry about that. But as you know, tomorrow's your birthday. And I was just at the car dealership getting you the car of your dreams. And the paperwork took a lot longer than I thought. And they hand you the keys to the car. How do you feel now? Can you see how instantly and miraculously your emotional state changes when you change your beliefs? So you went from a really negative place to an incredibly positive state, place where all this love and feelings of gratitude come into your body. Can you see how instantly when you change your beliefs, this is where you want to work. You want to work on your beliefs. And I've spent so much time working on my beliefs. To me, people kill and die for their beliefs. I will never defend my beliefs. All I will ask myself is, does a belief serve me, yes or no? For example, if I feel, and I've done a lot of work to feel that I am safe, I am supported, that the universe is supporting me, I'm guided, and I'm in the right place at the right time, and that the universe is providing for me. Now, I don't need you to have those beliefs. You don't have to have those beliefs to do the Gabriel Method. This is not an ideology. You have whatever beliefs you want. But I adopted those beliefs because they make me feel good. They make me feel safer. And I also believe that if I feel safer, I actually am going to be safer. Because when you feel safer, you are not in a stressed state anymore. And so you are more creative, you are more present, you are more aware, you are using more of your energy, all your life force energy is flowing, as we're going to talk about in a second, your intuition is flowing. So you are more guided, you have better feelings about where things are going, and you are safer. Just by believing that you actually physically become safer. So you can use visualization, and as I mentioned, when you are in a meditative state, which is when your brain is in the alpha and the theta state, which is when you are listening to the visualizations, you're in a meditative state, you are much more programmable. The same way that you can create habits real quickly, you can change beliefs. So simply by going to a place where you imagine, go into a meditative state and imagine every cell of your body. This is the way to do it, I find. There's 70 trillion cells. If you imagine every cell of your body saying over and over again, I am safe, I am loved, I am protected, I am guided, over and over again, I am safe, I am loved, I am protected, I am guided. For nothing else has changed in your life, and for no rational reason, you feel safer, you feel more loved, you feel more guided, you feel more protected. That's a really powerful thing that you can, the way to do it. And just to apply it directly to weight loss, because just by doing that, it's going to help you tremendously with weight loss. You can also do it. You can also look at it this way. We all have these associations that weight loss is difficult, that it's hard, that you have to suffer, or maybe we feel like we can't lose weight. We're not meant to lose weight, and we're genetically fat, or any of these types of things. These are all beliefs, and they come from, in my opinion, approaching weight loss the wrong way. So if you lose weight by forcing your body to lose weight without addressing the real issues first, and your body fights back, it's going to fight back over and over and over again, and you're going to get to the place where you feel like you can't lose weight. It's just not your thing, you know, it's not part of your genetic makeup or whatever. But to me, that's a little bit like, let's say you were trying to walk through a sliding glass door, and you didn't know there was glass there. So every time you got to the door, you'd hit your head, and then you go, well, I can't walk through this door. I'm not meant to walk through this door. What is some invisible thing stopping me? I don't know what. If you open the sliding glass door, nothing is easier. And the same with weight loss. If you've been doing it the wrong way over and over again, you may have these opinions. I mean, if you look at my family when we were all heavy, my father, my mother, my brother, we were all heavy. My brother and I were both over 400 pounds. And all that went away. We all lost weight. But if you looked at us when we were all heavy, you would say we were genetically fat. And, you know, the doctor would say, well, it's your genetics. Well, no, genetics can cause a predisposition, but it's the epigenetics, it's the environment that matters more. And the epigenetics is a function of your beliefs and how much stress you have and how many negative emotions and many other things, the way you're nourishing your body. So you can change that. And that's what we do in the Gabriel Method. So when you address the real issues, it's almost like opening up a sliding glass door. When you get to the place where your body wants to be thin, it's like walking through a sliding glass door. There's nothing easier and more natural. I did it 15 years ago, and I've watched my brother do it over the last 4 years, lose over 200 pounds, and he just keeps losing. And I know he's not on a diet. I see him. I'm with him. He's not restricting himself, but he does nourish, does things to heal his digestion. He does do meditations and visualizations. He does nourish his body. He does do the get thinner, get eaten type of exercises, and I'm just watching him. So you can get to a place where your body wants to lose weight, but at the same time, because you have this belief that you're not meant to lose weight, it can actually get in the way. So you can also get into this place where you're in a meditative state, and you can imagine every cell of your body saying, weight loss is easy. Weight loss is effortless. Weight loss is automatic. You can say that over and over again, and then you can allow yourself, when your body wants to be thin, to lose weight without any friction because your mind is on board. So visualization is really, really powerful for helping change negative beliefs. This is also a really powerful thing that you can do with visualization and meditation, and that is strengthening your intuition. Do you know the U.S. Navy has spent millions and millions of dollars studying intuition? The reason they have is because there have been situations where battalions have miraculously avoided being killed from a bomb that was here or there or an ambush, and they can't explain it. And there's statistically they can't explain it. The statistical frequency of fluke coincidences that save groups of soldiers cannot be explained. So they're studying intuition. And intuition is a very, very real thing. It is not acknowledged in our society the same way life force energy channels are not acknowledged in our society. What I have learned about intuition is it's like a muscle that atrophies over time. So if you don't use your intuition, if you're only taught to think and be logical, it's a left brain type of thing, and you don't use the more creative and intuitive parts of your brain, they atrophy to the point where you lose them. You can get them back through strengthening them, but if you don't strengthen them, they will be lost. I grew up in a very, very logical professional family. My father was a dentist. I went to an Ivy League school for business, and everything was logical and linear and scientific. I had to spend years and years developing my intuition, and now my intuition is the most important thing that I rely on. And nothing makes you feel safer than your intuition. You know, we get up in the morning and we watch the news, and all these different things happen. A war here, an explosion here, and stock market here. And we're in this frantic state because we feel like we got to figure it all out ourselves. We got to solve the problem through thinking. And so, and the thing is, your mind knows, no matter how smart you are, there's just some problems you can't solve. But your intuition is different. Your intuition is non-physical and knows what's happening in the future. If you look at, and I know that sounds bizarre, but if you look at quantum physics, they have already told us that there is no future or past. Everything is happening now. It's just our logical mind that's telling us that the past happened already, the present is happening now, the future has not happened. But scientifically, mathematically, that is not correct. I'm talking about science here, not simply kind of airy-fairy being woo-woo. Scientifically, you ask any modern-day physicist, and they will say that, no, that is not correct. It is not correct that the past happened already. It is not correct that the future has not happened yet. According to quantum physics, the past and the present are happening. They're all happening now. And the part of you that can tap into that is your intuition. And that's how it's been so successful at helping people escape fluke accidents. One of our coaches, many of you may have heard me tell this story. I think it's an incredible story. Melinda Jacobs, she's one of our Gabriel Method coaches, and she does cellular release training for people. And she had an experience where she was at the midnight showing of Batman Returns in Aurora, Colorado in 2012. And that was the Aurora, Colorado shooting. I'm sure you've heard of the Aurora, Colorado shooting. It's when a gunman went into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, and shot and killed many people and wounded 70 people. He just opened up and started shooting at people. Melinda Jacobs was there with everybody else at that movie theater. She walked, and she was excited to go to the movie. Her friend, it was sold out. Her friend got two tickets, invited her to go. And so she was excited. She walks into the theater, and she gets a bad feeling. It's a true story, and I get goosebumps every time I think about it. She had a bad feeling. She said to her friend, "We have to go." And, of course, her friend protested. "What do you mean we have to go? She goes, "We need to walk out of this theater right now." That's how she said it. They walked out of the theater, and then the gunman opened up a little while later and killed all these people. She was there, and she was saved. There's 0-0 chance that can be ascribed to luck. It's the statistics are ridiculous. And I have also had experiences where this voice came into my head and said, don't do that. And if I had done it, I would have been killed. That has happened to me. It happened to me one time when I was biking, when I was living in Australia. I used to bike up and down these hills in a vineyard. And there was this one hill that was about 100 yards long. So not a long hill. And this is when I did my get thinner, get even type of thing. I sprinted up that hill, but it was a really steep hill. So it was a very challenging experience. Anyway, I'd sprint up the hill. And then when I got to the top of the hill, I would always raise my hands the way, you know, bike racers do. And I would let myself go down the hill with my hands up in celebration because that was the workout for me. And I had just done it really well. So I get to the top of the hill. I'm about to raise my hands. And this voice says, no, just like that. Don't do it. And I didn't. And a millisecond later, a 6-foot kangaroo came charging out from the side of the road. Just like within my, like, I would have had no way to respond. As it was, my hands were on the steering wheel or on my bike's handlebars. As it was, I swerved. Fortunately, there were no cars coming. I swerved all the way to the right into the woods, but I only had that long to avoid that. Now, kangaroos are not aggressive animals, but they do have these talons on the back of their legs, and they use them for defense, and those talons are sharp, and they can disembody you. They disembowel you. There's stories all the time of dogs chasing a kangaroo into a corner and then the kangaroo just slicing it open. I even saw a dog one time when I was at my friend's house at a farm. The dog looked like Frankenstein. It was just the whole body was sewed up. I said, what happened? They said they chased a kangaroo, and the kangaroo just skinned it alive. So that, I did that in defense. And if I had not had my hands on the steering, on the handlebars, that kangaroo would have smashed into me and possibly used his talons, and that would have been the end of me. What was that voice? How did that voice know that? There's no other way to explain it except that that voice knows the future. And we all have that voice. We all have access to that voice that knows the future, but it has atrophied. And you can make it stronger. And the way to make that voice stronger, the way to make that connection with intuition stronger, is through daily practice of meditation or visualization. Because if you look at what you're doing when you're meditating or visualizing, you are sitting and not moving and your eyes are closed. And if you think of the intuition as a sense, many people call it a sixth sense. What's happening is you are giving the sixth sense a chance to get stronger because you are subduing the five senses. If you look at little kids when they have a lazy eye, I used to babysit this little five-year-old, cutest little kid, big blue eyes. One of his eyes was lazy. It was kind of going off onto the side. The cure for a lazy eye is to put a patch on the big eye, on the good eye. So he had a patch on his good eye for a whole week. And what that does is it makes forces the lazy eye to get stronger and stronger. Eventually, the lazy eye is as strong as the good eye. In the same way, when you practice meditation every day or the visualizations we do, you are sitting and not moving, and you are subduing your five senses, and you are giving your sixth sense a chance to get stronger. And what happens is your sixth sense gets stronger and stronger until you have a sense of what's going to happen, until you have a sense that you are guided and that you are connected, and that life has purpose, and that when you walk out the door, you've got an asset with you. You've got something there that's going to tell you what to do and where to go. Maybe not every second of the day, but it's got your back. And nothing, and I mean nothing on earth, for me personally and for other people I know, nothing on earth can make you feel safer than knowing that you've got this intuition that's guiding you and protecting you. Because then you don't have to worry as much. You don't have to solve it all with your brain, with your analytical mind, which is what makes us so crazy and stressed out. You can relax and go deeper and deeper into that intuition. So you can use visualization and meditation to strengthen your intuition. Anytime you're doing any of the visualizations or any type of meditations, you are strengthening your intuition, and that over time gets more and more powerful. So that's another great benefit and asset to doing visualizations and meditations. And then lastly, you can use visualization to help you manifest your life's dreams. my experience is that anytime I visualize the way I'd like my life to go, flowing, being created in a positive way, incredible things happen that day and in the coming days where things just flow magically. And you can, and so you can use visualization to imagine that, visualize relationships working out well, visualize getting the ideal job that you want to get, visualize being successful beyond belief. And there's just this incredible momentum that happens in your life from doing that. And the more you do visualization, the more effective it is. Years down the road, 15 plus years down the road doing this type of visualization, and the cause and effect relationship I see on a daily basis between when I visualize having an amazing life and things working out and them working out versus when I don't do it and then them not working out is just unbelievable. It defies statistics. Every time I visualize things working out, it's magic. And maybe it doesn't happen perfect or exactly the way I imagined, but things flow better. And eventually you get to a place where you want to be. And so what I do is I imagine exactly the position I want to be in, not so much that I'm going to be doing this course or writing this book, not that, but that I'm in a place where I'm spreading my message to the world and it's spreading all over and people are benefiting from it. This is the visualization I do every day. And I believe it's this visualization that has helped me spread my word to so many people and has helped me inspire other people to be successful. So, and then the more you visualize, the stronger you get. So you can use visualization to visualize your ideal body and your ideal life. And it's just magical. So in all these different ways, you can use visualization as a tool to help you be successful in weight loss, in health, and in other areas of your life. And I would encourage you to do that. And we have a really beautiful visualization this week called the Abundance Visualization, where you're imagining an ocean of abundance and your pores of your skin opening up and all this abundance coming in. And abundance could be in any aspect of your life that you want abundance, relationships, work, success in business, whatever it is, you can imagine it in any way that you want. But it's a powerful, powerful visualization. And that's the one I want you to listen to this week. Cool. So let's talk about the action steps if we can. So this week's visualization, as I mentioned, is the abundance visualization. Visualize it every morning and note it. Try to notice, maybe not the first day or the second day, but by the third day, are there differences? Are there differences when you're visualizing all this abundance coming to you and it manifesting in the world? Is there any differences in any aspect of your life or things flowing better? And if so, I would encourage you to continue to do this and run with the ball with it because you've tapped into a very empowering technique where you're in charge. You're not at the whim of society or the news or the government or any of that. You're tapping into something else, something more powerful, something that overrides everything else. And the more you tap into it, the deeper the connection is and the more abundance comes to you. So I would love for you to listen to this visualization first thing in the morning. In the afternoon, I'd love you to do any type of afternoon stress reduction break, as we've talked about in the past. Any visualization you like in the afternoon, and also the evening visualization before you go to bed. So the reason why, as you can see, I stress visualization, as I've outlined throughout the course over the last 4 weeks and also today, it's just the tool. It is the mind-body connection. It is the way you set the dials on the plane, on the automatic pilot to set your course. It puts you in the right direction. If we don't do this, we're just at the whim of everyone and everything else. If we do this, we are the masters of our ship with our body, with our weight, with our health, and with our life. So try these visualizations this week and see if you notice a difference. Cool. Then we have the ongoing visualization or ongoing action steps of drinking more water with lemon and apple cider vinegar. We mentioned a probiotic a couple of times in here. You can just take one probiotic either in the morning or once with meals. Drinking a green juice or a super greens or any type of veggie broths either in the morning or the afternoon is great. When you're hungry, and I stress when, it doesn't have to be first thing in the morning, but when it's hungry, eating a good breakfast that's got protein and live food and omega-3s. You want to take digestive enzymes with meals. It's a great thing to do. And then eating frequent meals throughout the day that have things like protein and live food and omega-3s. And I have in here a second time, take the afternoon stress reduction break. Very, very powerful thing. Go back to week three to refer to that. It's one of the best things you can do, stress afternoon stress reduction break. Really, really sets the stage. Once again, if you can find time to do something like yoga, Tai Chi, or meditation class, or Qigong, or some sort of mind-body practice, just try it. Really, really great. 10 minutes a day, a couple of times a week, when you're ready, do the get thin and get eaten exercises that we talk about in week four. Drinking water before meals or just drinking water throughout the day, not so much during meals, but before or after is great. And then again, listening to the eating visualization, which we talked about. And those are the and those action steps, making these action steps your own, however you are, however you do going forward, will work in so many different ways. You are nourishing your body better so that it's changing your body on a hormonal level, which helps helps give you more energy and reverse leptin and insulin resistance. You're healing your digestion. You're detoxifying your body. All of these things help reverse the hormonal signals that cause us to gain weight. It helps turn off the fat programs. You're reducing stress. You are working through emotional issues. You are activating, giving your body a reason to want to be thin for survival reasons through the get thin or get eaten adaptation. You're opening up your life force channels. You're increasing your intuition, breaking through dysfunctional beliefs. It all comes from a morning practice, starting with a 10-minute morning practice of visualization. So this is the thing. You know, we started this class about saying we want to create healthy habits that will transform ourselves for real this year, not just making a New Year's resolution like, I don't want to eat chocolate cake, and we already talked about how does that work. Not very well, right? These are the mechanics. You really, really want to make this the year, the greatest year of your life, and make this the year that you look back on and say, wow, this was the year where everything changed. Since then, I've gotten healthier and fitter and more successful and happier and more energetic. And in so many different ways, life has changed. This is the year where that branches off your timeline into a more successful timeline. You want to do that. It's these action steps. You've learned it already. Take as long as you want to apply them all, but you've learned the principles now. You've learned the tools to be the master of your own ship in every way, shape, or form to set the dials for success. So let's do that. That's what this course is all about. These are the tools, as we've outlined over the last 5 weeks. Set them in motion with these action steps, and it will and can be the greatest year of your life and the biggest and the year that it changes everything. Cool. Thanks so much for joining us in this class. We will be having another Ask John question and answer session Thursday night if you're in the U.S., Friday morning if you're in Australia and New Zealand. So awesome. So we'll speak to you then with any questions that you have, and wishing you tremendous, tremendous success in this week, in this year, and in every year going forward. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll speak to you soon. Take care.